Our first lesson for today is from the book of Proverbs. I'm sure everybody's familiar with that. It's a short two-verse thing from Proverbs 25. If you're following along in our Pew Bible, it is page 570 in the Old Testament section. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. The second lesson for today is from the letter to the Hebrews, from chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, 15, and 16. This is in page 201 of your Pew Bible in the New Testament section. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were also being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, 14th chapter, verse 1, and then verses 7 through 14. You'll find this in your Pew Bible in the New Testament section, starting on page 67. Listen now for what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When Jesus noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, invite the crippled, invite the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they can't repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So why am I wearing a kilt? Yes, it's the Highland Games. Every Labor Day weekend here in Waukesha, which is one of the reasons why I felt drawn here, called here, is because of the Wisconsin Highland Games every year during Labor Day. So every year I go. And it gives me an opportunity to get my kilt out of the closet and to dress up and then go and eat haggis and scotch eggs and, of course, drink as much Iron Brew, which is the national drink, as I can until I get sick and go home. Oh, yeah, and toss the caber. Yeah, yeah, that's not an easy thing to do. But it's fun. It's fun to go out there and then talk and listen. And this year I was working the Knights Templar tent, which was with the clans. So it gave me opportunity to talk to people and talk about Scottish heritage and, of course, wear my kilt. This weekend also reminds me of our Presbyterian tradition, you know, that the Presbyterian Church USA, our mother church, is actually the Church of Scotland. And also just the traditions of my family that have been passed down from the times that my ancestors, Robert and Eleanor, came over. And just what customs they brought over, such as hospitality. How many of you know of the tradition of whenever somebody enters into a home, they are given a cup or a bowl or a glass of something to drink? And in Scotland, they actually have these little fun little, it looks like a bowl. And it's very pretty. And especially on January 1st at midnight, it's called the first step. The first person that steps through the door gets a very generous bowl of scotch. And then, of course, there is the tradition that, especially in the small villages, that, you know, it's a small villages. It's almost like a family. Nobody in the farm area, in the village, nobody really goes hungry. They look after each other. And that's also part of the parish church, the church in the area, is that they're so interconnected. And they know what's going on in each other's businesses. That can be good and that cannot be so good. But it's that generosity, understanding that, you know, Billy down the road has lost his job. He's a subsistence farmer. They'll need help. The church, the community, will help look after him. And that was carried over into the United States. Back in the 1700s, when the Scot-Irish movement was moving through from Pennsylvania and they were squatting on land of Lord Granville. Yeah. they looked after each other. These families lived together. They worked together. Their kids ended up marrying each other. But especially as pioneers moving into the wilderness, there was the tradition of hospitality. If somebody was traveling through, you would have in your house an extra room. And sometimes it was actually separated from the family's house. But that room was for the traveling strangers, whoever were coming through, that you would show them hospitality. You would give them a room. And usually the room had a nice bed. It had a trundle bed underneath it. And you gave them food and drink and... because we all are travelers at some point, and we all need hospitality at some point. You invite people in because at some point you're going to be invited as well. And that tradition of hospitality just kind of carried through into the pioneer wilderness, out into Wisconsin even. Think about the founding of this church, First Presbyterian Church of Waukesha, go all the way back when it was a little log cabin kind of church. And there was hospitality shown because people found a home here. People found community here. And in the basement of the church, what was founded? Carroll College. Hospitality was shown because, as Presbyterians, we value education. That's one of our biggest mission areas, traditionally, all the way back to the Mother Church. Education, 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 health care, and social righteousness. We'll talk about that later. So we have within our DNA this idea of hospitality, this idea of inviting people into the family, and also being invited as inviting others. When we think about the gospel today, which Jesus is basically reminding all the good Pharisees of the teachings of the Proverbs, it makes me think about what it means for us as the church to invite others into our family system, into our community. And also what it means to be inviting. That's actually two different words, is it not? Invited and inviting. Invited means that somebody has said, hey, come and hang out with us. And you come, you go, you hang out, and it's either good or eh. One of the great things that, as a stated clerk, I'm looking at all of the mission information forms of churches looking for pastors. Every time, every church says, we are a friendly church. We like to invite people. That's great. People are invited. You're friendly. But are you inviting? Inviting is an active verb, is it not? There's dynamism there. There's synergy there. To be inviting means that it's continuing. When somebody is invited, they can come and be part of the community, to be part of the church. But it's in the midst of the church that we are not friendly. I don't want us to be friendly. I want us to be inviting. Inviting like Jesus, our host, inviting us to the Lord's table. Like Jesus inviting us to a great banquet. Inviting anybody and everybody that comes through the doors, that they will be regaled as the highest esteemed person. Inviting means not just giving them a cup of coffee and a brownie. Inviting means to get to know them, to know what their passion and their loves are. Not ask them what they do for their jobs or whatever. Ask them what they're passionate about. Invite them into the life of Jesus Christ. Into the life of the community. Inviting them into the mission of the Holy Spirit that goes beyond Sunday morning. To be a community, the nature of the church is to go beyond inviting people to come and participate in our programs, but inviting them into the life of Jesus Christ that is transformative. Inviting people into a life that leads them out with passion, with fire, into the community to find the poor, the lame, the sick, the marginalized. Those that nobody else wants to invite to church. That is what inviting is. Are we inviting? Do we invite people into a relationship with Jesus Christ? What do you need in order to invite and be inviting? My ancestors that came over here in 1728, they fled from Scotland because they chose the wrong side in religious wars as well as state wars. They came over and were subsistence farmers. They came over for an opportunity that they could no longer have back in the land that they knew. When they went around Pennsylvania and in the Carolinas into Statesville, North Carolina, there was nothing there. There was no church building there. There was a grove of trees. And these people gathered together under a tree in the name of Jesus Christ, read scripture, prayed together, learned about each other, about the community that was coming into that area, who they were in the light of Jesus Christ in that moment and in that place. They broke bread together. They became the body and blood of Jesus Christ in that moment under the tree in the place that we now call Statesville, North Carolina. They were invited by Jesus Christ to meet under that tree, and Christ continued to invite them to be the body of Christ in the world. And they continued to be inviting to all the other pioneers that came to that area. What did they need? They had everything, actually. When they gathered under that tree, even though they were in poverty and struggling, they didn't have a glorious church building. They didn't even have a preacher. They had Jesus Christ. They had the Word of God. They had prayer. And they had each other as a community. Today, many of our Presbyterian churches, like Southminster, are trying to discern who we are today in this world. As times change, as people's priorities change. But one thing that never changes is Jesus Christ, as the teacher of Hebrews says, reminds us. One thing that never changes is that people always are responding to be invited into a relationship, into an inviting community. One thing that never changes is that people are always seeking meaning in this world, to pray together, to break bread together, to find themselves within something greater than themselves. One thing that never changes is that we as Christians will always find ourselves humbled, finding that all the things that we had in the past, the power and prestige in the community, in the world, that doesn't really matter. What matters is that we're inviting and going outside of ourselves to where the people are that God is already at work with. so that we can be an inviting presence of God together in this world. Brothers and sisters, on this weekend, as we First Presbyterian and Southminster come together, pray together, hear the word of God together, take this holy act, this holy sacrament together, reminding us that we are bound together. May we remember that we are invited by Jesus Christ to go out into the world to be an inviting presence of God in the world. And we have everything that we've ever needed to do that. All praise, honor, and glory to you, O Christ. Amen.